Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin. We have a special guest with us today, Robert.
Yeah?
In a sport that maybe not many people have heard about, but probably been involved when they were kids mucking around in the pool. It's called free diving, and I'd like to introduce and welcome Kath Christie to our program.
G'day, Kath.
How are you going?
So I suppose you want me to ask the first question?
Well, you are a journalist.
Yeah, yeah. Tell the listeners, how do you explain free diving? What's the simplest way to paint a picture about what your sport is?
I guess just hold breath diving. Free diving is diving without assistance of a tank. There are two main disciplines. One is in the pool, so trying to hold your breath and go for as long as you can, or depth and trying to hold your breath and go as deep as you can.
How did you get involved? I know that as kids I remember floating in the pool for as long as I could with my head underwater, and I remember trying to swim underwater as many lengths as I could. Does it come from sort of that idea, or how did you get involved at this level?
Yeah, absolutely it comes from as a kid. Any of the free divers you ask, and they all did it as a kid. They sat at the bottom of the pool and enjoyed that peace that you get. You sit and it just goes quiet and it's just lovely. So I always wanted to do it, and I think quite young, 12, 13, I saw the movie The Big Blue. And it's a buddy movie about free divers, and the cinematography is stunning and you just want to do it. But being in Australia at the time, I didn't know anyone that did it. I was young. I didn't know anyone. I didn't know how to get involved. We didn't have, at the time, I don't think we had a big body of free divers, and I certainly didn't have Google when I was that young. So I just kind of went through my life going, oh, what a shame, I can't do it. I don't know anyone. I don't know how to. And I scuba dive from quite a young age. And when I went to uni, I started doing underwater hockey. A few years ago, I was just going on a trip overseas to Italy. And just before I left, there was an article in a paper about the deepest pool in the world that had just opened in Italy. And I thought, wow, that sounds awesome. And I emailed them and said, can I come for a swim? And they
said,
Italy. Yeah. And they just said, oh, do you have a license? And I said, what? You can get a license in freediving? And they said, yeah. And so when I got back to it, I did go for freediving in this deepest pool, which is 42 metres deep. And I went there. And when I got back, I got my license. So you can get beginner, intermediate and advanced licenses, and they take you to deeper levels and show you different techniques for equalisation.
So your first experience of diving was actually overseas.
Yeah.
And you come back to Adelaide. Training now, where do you train and how do you go about your training? What does it, do you train, is it every week, couple of times a day, a week, or is it a regiment that you do?
Yeah, when I got back, it was, I did the beginner course, and just at that time, the Adelaide Freediving Association started up. And so actually I was at the founding meeting and became the treasurer, and they started doing regular meetups to see if there was interest, and there certainly was, and the group has been so slowly growing. And because we don't have depth in South Australia, it is pool training. So we train, that group trains four times a week, and obviously you go as often as you can, so I usually go a couple of times a week during school time.
And you were telling me before off air that a lot of the competitions are in Europe, which makes it hard, but they've got the Pan Pacifics. Have you competed there and how have you gone there?
Yeah, so they started the Pan Pacifics 4 years ago, and it's every 2 years. So I've been to two, the only two that have been. So in Brisbane was the first one, which was great. It was great to see more locals, more New Zealanders and Asian countries come. That was really cool, and that was my first major competition. And I came 10th in that one for the women. And then this year I went to Japan, and that was the second Pan Pacific Championships. That was fantastic. And again, I came 10th, and I was really happy with that. As a novice, it's really fun. And it's really fun being in the room with world champions, and they're so friendly and everything.
I know some of the videos that you put on Facebook, that's what I got that real sense that everyone was really supportive. You could hear the conversation and the language, and people were really supportive of you diving. And I thought that seemed like a really nice atmosphere to be in.
Yeah, I was quite nervous about the first comp, But one of the interesting things, I think, unless you're in the top three, everyone's there just for themselves. And even those competitors are there for themselves, competing against their personal best. And so when I came up from my first static, you know, and the judges says, was that your best? And I go, yeah. And everyone congratulated me. And it was, you know, it was just so lovely. And everyone offers advice. And it is a very chilled sport. I think there is a few older people in the sport, because you don't get worse as you get older. You actually, your metabolism slows, so actually you kind of get a bit better at the sport and relaxed. And because you do have to be relaxed in the sport, it's very unusual for a competition. You have to take your adrenaline down, and so it's a very relaxed atmosphere. Everyone's super friendly, and that's really nice.
Just to put it in perspective, what type of times are we talking about underwater where you're not breathing? I mean, it's sort of it sounds amazing. I mean, I remember swimming from one end of the pool to the other when I was a kid, and I think that you're looking for maybe 30 or 40 seconds as a kid. So obviously you do a lot better than that. Just let the listeners know a little bit about what time in the where you're underwater and what circumstances?
For the pool competition, there's the three disciplines, which is static, where you just hold your breath. Now, my personal best is 4.5 minutes.
4.5 minutes?
Which, you know,
wow.
Sounds like a lot, except then you go, the actual world record is 11.5 minutes.
Wow.
So, yeah, the male limit is world record at the moment is 11 minutes 35, which is just phenomenal to watch. I don't know how they do it. It really is a mind game for static. You're fighting your contractions and just reassuring yourself it's okay, you can stay down a bit longer. Hopefully I'll slowly progress and get past the five-minute mark. But, yeah, it's interesting for... dynamic, where you swim in the pool, the world record is 300 metres, so what's that, six laps?
Wow.
Six laps with no breath.
I was talking about one lap.
And that was a small pool. This is a 50-meter.
They're pretty phenomenal when you watch the professionals do it. And there is a Guinness Book record. So there's two main sporting bodies that do the records for freediving. And outside that is Guinness World Records, and they do have a separate record for oxygen-assisted breath hold, and that record is at over 24 minutes.
Wow.
Which
it seems amazing, isn't it, when you... Like, I mean, we all have, as I said, held our breath either underwater or not underwater, and you see what you can do. And it's a really weird concept to think, I'm running out of air. But to do it 24 minutes, and so when you say oxygen assisted, do they breathe oxygen prior to that for a period of time?
Yeah, so I mean, generally you're saturated with oxygen anyways, but breathing pure oxygen just before a breath hold will increase your breath hold. So it is obviously illegal for the main competitions. It is definitely performance enhancing, but for the Guinness Book of Records, there is a special record for that type of stunt. It is a stunt, that one, but it's very interesting.
So you're talking about when you were a kid, how relaxing it was, and obviously that's what drew you to it. What is it like when you're underwater? Well, just talk us through roughly what your 4 minutes involves.
The 4 minute static is maybe not so relaxing. I'd say more the depth dives or your diving recreationally is very relaxing. Some people do find the statics relaxing, but personally I find them a bit of a mind game and fighting. But for your recreational freediving, so that's, you know, snorkeling for wildlife, but diving down a bit deeper or longer, or your depth dive, like, just recently I did went to Egypt, where there's a blue hole which goes down 100 metres and you just take a buoy out and it's straight off, like you walk just off the shore and it drops down. And on a dive like that, you know, you relax on the surface, you breathe up, you hold your breath, you go down and it's just dead quiet. It's peaceful, it's blue, there's really not much. And when you dive for depth, after about 10-15 metres, you free fall. So you're just floating down. You're just sinking and floating into the abyss, and it's quite meditative, I would say.
So when do you know you've reached your limit and you have to come up?
You slowly progress your depth. I mean, you obviously don't start diving 30 metres to start with. So the beginner course would, you know, you dive to, you know, 10 metres, and then, you know, you go to the next course and you might dive, you know, you slowly get up 15 to 20, and then once you get closer to your limit, you go up in, you know, increments of a metre, you know, and you just really slowly progress that. So you always know you're within your limits because you've already done that dive, and then you're just going a little bit further and that little bit further. So there's, for the depth ones where you're challenging yourself to go to a limit, the rope is set at that limit, so, and you're attached to the rope, so you know when you've got to turn around.
Now, you were telling us about the rules and regulations when you get up, that you have to sort of be conscious, etc. How many times have you fainted or sort of not been eligible for a dive?
I've been red carded once, and I've blacked out in a practice dive once. So a red card is if you don't complete your surface protocol. So when you come up from a dive, you do need to take off your mask and nose clip and do a signal that you're okay and stay conscious for 30 seconds. If you are low on oxygen, you may experience some hypoxic symptoms such as shaking, and may cause you to not do the surface protocol quite well enough.
So you've had a bit of opportunity to travel by the sounds of it. So how did that come about this year? I mean, what did you decide to pack up and head off for a little while?
Yeah, I happened to have some long service leave and just thought it was the perfect opportunity to really focus on some training, because during the term I, you know, dropped training down to quite a minimum. So it was nice to have 3 months where I stayed in Adelaide and trained every day, and then went to a Pan Pacific Championships in Japan, and then went and did depth training, which I hadn't really done before because there is no depth in Australia. We are on a continental shelf. It's very hard to train for depth. So I went to Bali, where it drops off reasonably well, and did a reasonably high-level course, 8 of 4. And then I went to Egypt for 1 month and did a course there and, yeah, dived the Blue Hole and the Red Sea, which are just amazing. And quite deep, and I did a depth competition, my first depth competition there in Egypt.
So what are your goals now?
I would like to continue, obviously, and deeper. I mean, the call of the deep is very hard to refuse. I think it calls you deeper all the time. So it'd be nice to see what my limits are. I was very pleased. I went training for 3 months and didn't know how deep I could go. I didn't know if I'd have troubles equalising at depth beyond residual volume, lung volume. So, and I didn't. And I came back and my last dive was still not my limit. And so it was nice to come back and go, I can still continue. I can still go deeper.
And that's, I was going to ask that question because you think, let's say I'm running. Mm. I can run and I imagine people want to run further. I don't really like running, but I imagine people want to run further. Yeah, but that's quite safe in that sense. You're going to be fatigued. But your sport is so, because I imagine, as you talked about before, how it felt as you're going deeper and like the being in that sort of silent space and free-falling, being relaxed. It's a weird concept, isn't it, then? Because does it, as you said, like just does it, I can imagine it just attracting you. You want to go further and further, but you know you've got to come up.
Yeah, there's a limit to the rope, so you set the rope. Like, if you're going for depth, yeah, you set the rope, and you always dive with it. Like, the number one rule with freediving is dive with a buddy. You never don't dive with a buddy.
Good point to remember, kids.
Well, thank you very much, Kath Christie, and good luck for the future. This is the end of another Cutter and Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.